We're reaching the nations right here in our backyard. And I think it's such an amazing thing to have those relationships with so many different cultures and backgrounds and the different denominational groups, because there's so much life here. And I feel like it's so important that we all understand the life-giving streams and how vital it is for each other. So today, as we have some amazing pastors share, you know, obviously we only get together every quarter, and it's not every time that we can have everybody share, but it's like we have these little 7-minute windows. And how many know 7 is the number of completion, right? So 7 minutes, they're gonna bring it. No pressure, guys. Anyway, but it's such an amazing thing. We have so many great communicators, preachers, orators, anointed people, and when we get to see kind of the face of our region kind of represented, it always excites my heart. And I'm just trusting today as you just be ministered to, and especially in this day and moment, it's like I felt like as I was talking to people, what's the one thing that maybe we could help and just input and just impart into the other pastors in our city? I think the most important right now is to discern the voice of God. We must know. And so I just thought, well, it'd be pastors, leaders, as we lead our congregations. And so I just thought, boy, it'd be great to connect, have some different backgrounds represented, different years of experience of pastoring, and just see what people have done over the years. And it might be something simple, it might be something complicated, I don't know, but it's good to hear what others have experienced, and I felt like this would be a great time for today to do that. So we've got some amazing pastors behind me that I don't want to block them, but just to introduce them briefly, we have an amazing Pastor Tamara Bennett, who pastors down in South Sac, Pentecost Fellowship Ministries. She's been pastoring there for 21 years, been married for, 19 years? Yes, a tremendous woman of God. Love her husband, great people. Next, we have Pastor Paul. He is an amazing man of God. He's right in the, I always call where we're at, the Promised Land, Roseville. But anyway, he's from Roseville, been pastoring there for just a brief moment of 3 years. So he's the young buck. He's got a lot of answers for us today, give us a lot of clarity and direction. So we really appreciate that, Paul. No pressure. He's been married now for, what, 18 years? Is that what it is? 16 years? So his wife still digs him after all this time. So we have another one from Roseville, Pastor Alex Beacon, amazing guy, 20 years, and just doing a tremendous pastoring now for 10 years, been in ministry for over 20 years, and just doing a tremendous work reaching all generations. So we're just excited to have Pastor Alex with us. And then we have Pastor Greg with us, alderman right here in close by in Carmichael. Really been pastoring for 25 years, but have been pastoring where he's at for 15, and married to his lovely bride for a whopping 25 years. So we're just blessed to have them. They're going to share briefly 7 minutes, and in that 7 minutes, you can give them a hand clap. That would probably be appropriate, but we're going to start off with Pastor Tamara and let her take it from there. God bless you.
All right. I'll be the first up. God bless you, all of my brothers and sisters and brothers that I've just meeting and getting to know. Can you help me give it up for Pastor Don and Krista? Just, this is so amazing, and that they have stayed true to the assignment of city pastors. Okay, that took up 3 minutes, so let me move on. I am very honored to just share. I guess we're just sharing today. You can't really preach to pastors, but I do hope I can encourage you. He asked that we talk a little bit about what it takes for us to do what we do and just kind of keep everybody encouraged. I think for me, and I'm trying to get my little stuff here, that's why I hate, it's been my line lately that I just kind of, I think for me, I'm wired this way, is that's been my line lately, that I just kind of really try to keep a pulse on what God is doing, and that I try really hard not to let things fluster me, or truly the cares of this life just fluster me from assignment and purpose. I hope that I can encourage every man and woman of God that's here today, that when we know that the hand of God is on our life and that God have called us to something beyond us, that, you know, nobody feels adequate enough to be able to do it. I can't even be as transparent without admitting that we're living in some crazy times right now. And anybody that act like things are normal, you need some drugs, because things are not normal. Things are not normal at all. But if I look at it on that level, then yeah, I do need drugs. But if I look at it in God's perspective, just this one passage very quickly, and this is what's been rocking my world and keeping me focused. And it's in 1 Corinthians 3, when the Bible said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For, and I'm reading from the King James Version, for other foundation can no man lay than that of precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And you know, even the reality of our city pastors, that you know, we were thriving with 300 to 400, and we have this remnant that is still here, and we're here because God has called us to a work. And so we're all being tried right now. And it's stretching everything. It's being tried in our finances, it's being tried in our marriages, it's being tried in our ministries. But I'm trying really hard as a messenger of Jesus Christ to stay anchored that, Jesus, you already laid this. And so there's nothing left for me to do but trust you through this and to stay true to the call. And not, I think for all of us, there's a lot of political issues that's happening out right now. There's a lot of social issues and injustices and et cetera. And I've chosen to stay away from all of them. Because he called me to minister the beautiful good news, hope, life, and joy of Jesus Christ. And so that's been my anchor. And that's been my strength through all of this. It's allowing our ministry to survive. It's allowing our ministry to even thrive on certain levels, because I refuse to allow. And so if I were to encourage my brothers and sisters, even for some that may have, you know, ministries may have dwindled down or things may have changed and altered in our ministries, we're not called to brick and mortar. We're not called to hay and stubble. We are called to minister Jesus Christ to the life of people. And so the end of that, if I were to go over into 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said, you know, they're all wondering if I'm an apostle, and they're all guessing if I'm an apostle. He said, the proof of my apostle, it's you. And so I'm saying that to say that, you know, we have many ways that we can minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing it online, or we're doing it in person, or I don't know, some people still got the street ministry, whatever way we're doing it. I hope that we all stay encouraged to know that God's the one that keeps the number of how many lives we've actually touched. And the proof of our ministry is not based on how many members we have. It's not based on our budgets. It's based that we stay true and that we're still here in the midst of others being tried by fire. This is who we are. And so I'm affiliated, and I know many, many wonderful ministries around the U.S. of A. that had thousands of members, and now it's dwindling down. And I see men and women of God very discouraged. And I'm saying, yeah, but God has kept a record. And what's really being true is that we are being tried in our work, and if we stay true to the fight again, I need praise right there. Just had to throw that in there. So I do hope that whatever stage we are all in our work, that we stay focused. We have a much higher purpose and calling that Jesus have called us to, and that we stay true to that assignment. You know, politicians will come and go, and social issues will come and go, but what will remain is the hope of Jesus Christ. And so my outing, as I got a minute and a half, I'm one of those strange pastors that actually I love being around the people I pastor. We do this, I know. Like, I do this thing, my husband and I do this thing on Sundays. We've been doing it for 6 years, and we call it Fat Sunday. So after church on Sunday, most people would go out to eat, and that's how it started. My husband's a chef. We started doing it at our house. Literally, there's 30 to 40 people at our house on a Sunday. And let me tell you what happens. It's a different, I know all of you like, but it's a different environment, because I get to literally feel them. And it's important to me that I feel them. And it's important to me because when Satan comes with his greatest attacks over me of discouragement or just quit or just give up, I can look at just one that I know was preached out through the love of Jesus Christ, and it becomes my encouragement to roll up my sleeves and I'll do it again. So this is who we are. Okay, yeah, we can clap on that. All of you as my brothers and my sisters, this unity right here is priceless. Getting to know you is priceless. Understanding that we're all in this together, and that our foundation is sure. It is Jesus Christ. And this will pass, and we will come out better on the other side. God bless you.
Amen. I get to follow that. Yeah. Praise God. Well, thank you, Pastor Don and City Pastors team. It's an honor to be here and to share some thoughts with you on this idea of, you know, you asked us to encourage the room here on how have you been able to discern the voice of God. And as Pastor Don said, I've been pastoring for 3 years now, a year and a half of that being kind of COVID. So I've got it all figured out. I'm excited to tell you we've got it all. I said, why in the world are you having me talk at this? I want to hear from you, but I have learned a few things, and that's the beauty of when you go through something like this, you learn some things, and that question is a great question. How have you discerned the voice of God? Has anyone tried to figure that out in the last year and a half? How, Lord, where are you in this? And I love this question because it points to a characteristic of God that I think we need to be reminded of, and that is that we serve a God who loves to communicate. How have you discerned the voice of God to speak to us? And I think even in that's the first part, just remembering God wants to say something to you, to your church, to your family, to your ministry. And so I was thinking about that even before, you know, the first characteristic of God that we see in Genesis, right? Before anything's created, before light exists, before anything is shaped or formed, it says, and then God spoke. Because God wants to speak, and he wants to create something new in you, even in the midst of everything we're going through. And so how do we, Jesus said it in John 10, right? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the characteristics that God knows us is that we recognize his voice. And so, Pastor Don, I kind of struggled with this. How do you answer this? How do you discern the voice of God with so many voices and so many opinions? Because all of a sudden, I realized in the last year and a half, a lot of people have opinions that I didn't know I needed to know, but they felt the need to tell me about every Sunday as they lined up. It's amazing. Our churches have become experts on viruses and science of mask wearing, and everybody wants to tell me what we need to know. And so a lot of voices. And I said, Lord, how in the world do you discern what you're trying to say? Because every pastor I talk to has a different opinion on something. Every denomination I look at is kind of trying to figure it out differently. And I said, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And he reminded me of something. There's a story that we all know very well, but it's been kind of something that's lined up in my life this last year and a half. And it's the story of Jesus sending the disciples into the storm. You know it well. We've preached it many times. But Jesus, you know, is feeding the 5,000 and the miracles and the crowds. And they're just watching this amazing move of God. And then Jesus at evening time says, get in the boat, go to the other side. And then the storm hits. And it says it's a strong storm with heavy waves. I really believe, you know, for me, it's not so much how do you discern the voice of God in the easy times, because for me, it's a little easier to understand where God's at when he's blessing everything and there's financial blessing and the ministry's growing. In the easy times, I go, that's God right there. But when the storm is strong and the waves are heavy, how do you discern the voice of God? And I felt better looking at what the disciples did in the storm, because you remember it was hours later. It says about 3 o'clock in the morning or the fourth watch of the night. Jesus says, all right, that's enough. They've struggled long enough. And he comes to them on top of the water, walking on the water, which is just a great Jesus move. Like, this is going to be fun. Watch this. And they're so afraid because of the storm that they scream and they're terrified, right? And they say, it's a ghost. This is Jesus, the one they walked with, the one they've surrendered their life to, the one they've listened to. This is Jesus, and now they can. And so they don't recognize him, and Jesus speaks. I love that they couldn't recognize him, so he says, they need to hear my voice. He says, don't be afraid, it is I. And then Peter does one of the greatest things. He asks one of the dumbest questions in all of the Bible. He says, all right, if it's really you, because that's what you do, you question the voice of God in the storm. But he says, if it's really you, call me out, which is really silly, because if it's you, Jesus, calm the storm. Like, why not ask that question? If it's you, get the boat to the shore. Why are you, you know, that's Peter, though. So anyways, we know the story. So three things that I want to end with on that I think has helped me discern the voice of God in this type of environment. One is this. You need to remember when you're in this storm, you need to remember what you learned from the last storm. If you remember, Matthew 14 is not the first storm, it's the second one. You go back to Matthew 8, and there was a first storm they were in. What did they learn from Jesus in that storm that they were supposed to have heard and realized and listened in this one? In the first storm, when Jesus calms it, he's sleeping in the boat, and he rebukes their fear. And so it helps in this storm to remember fear isn't going to work, and I'm supposed to have faith. And you know what? Jesus was sleeping in the boat on that time, so I think I need to have some peace and be calm in this. And learning to learn the lessons from the first storm helps me when we're going through the second storm to discern what is God. The second thing for this is Jesus told me to do. Why in the world are they in the boat anyways? Because Jesus said, get in the boat and go. And what helps me is to remember and go back. What is the last thing I know Jesus told me to do? Because in the middle of the storm, you might question what is happening here. But remember, if Jesus told you to pastor this church, and if Jesus told you to start that ministry, and if Jesus told you to give that money to this group, and if Jesus told you to do this, then when the storm hits, you can go back and remember what he said to help identify who he is in this moment. And so the last thing Jesus told you is always going to be the first thing Satan wants to try to lie to you about. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. This is my son. God's voice comes down, right? And then we know Jesus goes to the wilderness and Satan says, if you're the son. Why? Because he questions the last thing God says. And so the third thing in the storm is we need to remember, and I love this, that you don't have to get it 100% right. Remember what you learned from the previous storm. Remember the last thing you know God told you. And then remember, you don't have to get it exactly right. Peter steps out of the boat and does something amazing. He walks on the water, and then he gets it wrong. And he sinks. And he gets his eyes off Jesus. And one of the greatest things I've learned in this last season is to know this. Yeah, I don't have to have it 100% right. As a matter of fact, and his grace and mercy will help you back. And so one of the great questions I got used or answers I got used to saying to people is, well, what about this? And I don't know. Well, what is the church going to do? I don't know yet. Well, what are we going to do about COVID? I don't know. Well, what are we going to do about the politicians? I have no idea what to do with them. I have no idea, but I know this. God told us to get in this boat. Let's go. So, amen. Thank you.
I'm grateful to the Lord for the family of ministers like you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Pastor Don, for the opportunity to share. When he asked me to share how I discerned the voice of God, Lord took me to precious memory of those moments when he taught me how to hear him. And my prayer, when I'm going to share my experience, that he will remind you your moments, because he is also your teacher, he is your father. So I'm gonna share three things that helps me to hear the voice of God. Number one is understanding the differences. Because understanding the differences moves me to seek his voice. And this is how the Lord taught me this lesson. He's very miserable effort of a bunch of Christians to convert one guy. He showed up as soon as we start doing the crusades there and ministry there. He attached to us. There was one problem with him. He has a black t-shirt with white letters saying more sex. So we're preaching Jesus saves you, and he's right there. He's preaching the different message. And we don't want to push him away, and pastors and local leaders and our guys, we Jesus loves you. There's a hell, you know. We try even to bribe him. Hey, we're going to give you this. Just give us your shirt. But he is having so much fun. But he is complete heathen. On the last evening, we rented a bigger facility. He showed up again. About 15 minutes before it started, he showed up again. And that moment, I stepped aside and I said, Lord, if you're going to give me one word, this fellow will be saved. About 5 minutes before service started, I was passing by him, and I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit on me. I knew God is going to talk to him. I don't know what, but I'm turned to him, and here it is. And I said, young man, I have a word for you. Do you want your wife, and all the men of your neighborhood will take advantage of it? But what Bible says, whatever you sow, this is what you're going to reap. You need to see his face. He was like a slammed with something heavy on his head. He became pale. And I turned and went to do my business. When I was preaching the message before the altar call, he was so ready that he ran to the altar before about 500 people crowd, and he was repenting while I was preaching the message. And I realized there is a difference. There is a difference when we hear his voice or when we just follow our experiences. The second thing is intimacy with the Lord. Because in the intimacy, this is the time when we learn who he is, when we gain skills to discern him, and when we gain strength to follow his voice. This is the important. And Luke chapter 1 verse 80, so the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to the Israel. Even Jesus, and most beautiful thing about Jesus is his private time with his Father. And number three, we want God to use our presentable side, you know. We're part of the polished Christianity. Everything about us has to be so polished that people will like it. And let me tell you, it's not how Jesus functioned. There was a most decorated man of God, Apostle Paul, and he was about to exit out of the power zone because he was most decorated with revelation, with experience, and with the knowledge. And God sent him a trouble. And this is what he's saying. Angel of Satan was given right to buffer me. And I'm thinking this COVID time, maybe it's a time to buffet us, that we will understand that God also moves in our weaknesses. And this is how God, Lord, taught me this lesson. One time I was getting ready for sermon, Sunday morning sermon. And the Lord spoke to me. There was a lady. She was heavily addicted to drug. And Lord told me that I have heard the voice that hell opened the mouth to swallow her. So I jump in my car. I drop every preparation. I got to Rancho Cordova. And here it is. I enter the room. And she saying, Pastor, you shouldn't come. Because I just took a heavy load of drugs there. I thought, I know what I'm here. I think I know God wants to pray for her. So I pray for her. I pray. I rebuke Satan. I rebuke death. I rebuke everything that I know. I prayed every scripture that I could come up with in that moment. I speak life to her. And nothing is working. She's not bleeding. Her mother's saying to me, maybe we should call the ambulance. I decided, you know, if mother's here, God did not brought me here for the ambulance. So I prayed it again. Nothing happened again. This is my moment of weakness. I felt irrational, stupid, dangerous, incapable. Anything that I could think of myself, of the weakness, this is what I would experience. But I stepped a couple steps away. I kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, please, for the things that I was doing. What should I do? And he spoke to me. He says, get up and bless her. Again, I'm staying. Mother is astounded what's happening. And I stood and I said, Olga, you are blessed. I mean, I don't feel good about it, but I'm doing it. Olga, because in Christ Jesus, you are alive. Maybe 45 seconds later, she jumped, started breathing. She's saying, what is happening? In that moment, I realized we need to give place to God in our weaknesses. My brothers, my sister, I want to conclude with the following. We are stepping into a new time. There's a possibility that we're going to face even greater challenges. But I have a good news for you. God wants to show His glory. He loves people. He wants to save our community. I think if we're going to follow these three things that the Lord taught me, if we will understand the differences, we will move to hear His voice. If we will find the time, the desert, our desert, that we will not come to the pulpit from the YouTube or the book you like or some other creative idea, but if we're going to step up to our pulpit from the desert, from the private place of Him, and we would allow Him to take us to the place of our weakness, He will manifest His glory. God bless you.
When I started down the path of full-time ministry, I remember having one of those conversations that I'm would assume is common in this room, one of those conversations with God. You know, Lord, do you really know who I am and how messed up I am and all the rest of it? And I also remember distinctly thinking, I don't want to be disqualified. If being on this path means that I disqualify myself, I don't want to go down it. If it means train wrecking my family, I don't want to go down it. All the rest of it. And I felt like, you know, the Lord really spoke to me and said, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. I said, okay, let's go. I remember the pride 28 years ago that I didn't imagine any difficulty hitting the finish line at 65 or 70 or whatever that time would come when I would stop full-time ministry. I just never imagined it was going to be an issue. 10 years ago, as I was getting ready to turn 40, I started taking seriously the fact that not only was I not going to hit 65 or 70 at full-time ministry, I wasn't even sure I was going to hit the halfway point because I was on my way towards burning out because the habits of the inner life and the habits of taking time away weren't fully developed like they needed to be. And for example, taking that time off, because every single one of us is driven by the tyranny of the urgent. And no one's going to give you permission to go anywhere. You have to take it. So I took my first extended time off 10 years ago. Up until that point in my life, I'd taken vacation, but I'd never taken time off of more than 7 days. And probably like a lot of you can relate to, it was always a grind to get ready to leave and then horribly busy when I got back. So then you're like, did I really go on vacation? So I took an extended period of time. For the first time, we didn't go anywhere. I stayed home. And my son was 12 at the time. We were coming back from my in-law's house. We had gone swimming. And we were going to head over to baseball practice. And my son looks at me and says, Dad, I'm glad you took this time off. You're present with us. He didn't say it like that, but that's basically what he said. And I said, what do you mean, buddy? I've always taken time off. He said, yeah, you've taken time off, but you haven't been with us. Wow. For the first time in my life, I'd taken more than a week off, and it took me a week and a half to unwind. And what that was telling me was I was never unwinding. I wasn't taking real Sabbath, a weekly time off over a period of years. So flash forward to this, heading into this summer. I looked at my board and I said, hey, these last 18 months have been like 10 years of leadership. The toll. I've made more decisions in the last 18 months that have made more people mad than in the entire 15 years combined that I was at the church I'm at. And the problem is, I never wanted to admit I thought I was immune from it. I looked at all the rest of you and thought, those guys are people pleasers. I'm not. So I said, hey, listen, the best thing you can give me is time off. I know it's going to be a a vice grip on the ministry, but I need time off. So I took some time off this summer. Won't bore you with all those details. They're actually quite boring. But as I was heading into my time away, the Lord led me back to the book of Ephesians. I wasn't surprised by this. I remember reading Bobby Clinton's The Making of a Leader, if you know the book. One of the things Bobby Clinton says is that a leader has about four or five books of the Bible that the Lord will consistently lead them back to. And there's a reason. I came back at the end of June, and I shared with my board what I was thinking about with the book of Ephesians, just for my own soul, which really is a vision of the church. And they looked at me and they said, you've got to share this, you know, because it's coming from my heart. I've had a few people say to me, hey, I don't know what's happened, but you're on fire. And I look at them and say, because you gave me some time off. But anyway, I want to finish with this. There's three prayers in the book of Ephesians that I've spent a lot of time with over the years. The prayer to know God, the prayer to love God, and the prayer to rely on God. And when we know God, we know that we're chosen. Mm-hmm. We're picked by Him. Yes. That He's personally revealed His grace, yes, and the mystery of His grace to each of us. Yes. That He's put a deposit inside of us that's irrevocable. Yes. That this Spirit that speaks to us which way we should go, to the left or to the right. This Spirit that reveals the mystery of grace to us personally and invites us to be a part of a body that collectively we cannot do it by ourselves, but mystery in His heart has to be at the center of it. That we are a part of a church that's been organized by Him, that I'm a part of, whether I like it or not. And trust me when I tell you, most of the people I look at when I'm preaching, I'm like, I wouldn't choose them for my family, amen? Nor would they choose me, amen? But here we are, chosen by our Father. And the thing that governs our relationships together is that I am a handiwork of the Lord made to display His grace, and so are you. And we are to mutually submit to Christ, and that's what's supposed to govern our relationships together. That's Ephesians 5:21. So brothers and sisters, I've been praying then that together we would rely on Him, because we can't do this work in our own flesh. And I have to constantly relearn that lesson. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Can we give him another hand? Great words, you guys. We really appreciate it. God bless you. Listen, what we'd like to do just with our remaining time is just around your tables, maybe share what God has maybe put on your heart. I mean, what things has He put on your heart maybe for the days ahead that we can all agree in prayer about? You know, it might be one little thing, might be a big thing. And just share that with one another. November. And thank you so much for coming in. Thank you, Pastor Josh, the amazing team here. Oh, man. Thank you for everybody that shared. So let's just take the remaining time. Let's talk among each other, maybe share what God's doing in your life that we can agree with, pray for the days ahead. God bless you. We love you.
Try to put